Hello, my friend. Welcome again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul. It's the 12th day of April, and I want to thank you for taking the journey with me this week as we close down another work week. It's Friday, and praying that you have had a wonderful time this week and whatever it is that you've chosen to do or had to do. And I pray your weekend is spectacular and that you can find space to be with the saints of the Lord in the house of the Lord somewhere, rejoicing together and growing together in the community of saints. Today we are in Luke chapter 11. We've turned into verse 29. Jesus has been talking now for several verses, and there's a slight break where just leading from verse 29, leading into the sentence, there's this little break where Luke tells you about the size of the crowds. And don't think this is incidental. This is an indication that this matters, that the size of the crowds matter, and to the point that what you hear Jesus say next might indicate that he's frustrated with that. Verse 29, when the crowds were increasing, he began to say, and that indicates to me that this might be something he says over and over at each crowd as he's going village to village and he sees the big crowds. He says this every time. This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. I'll stop there for a moment and make some comments. As the crowds are getting bigger, I think that the indication is Jesus isn't happy about it. Not because he doesn't like people, of course, or see them as a mission field, but because the attitude, the spirit behind the crowd is disturbing. He's just had this confrontation with those who watch him cast out devils, and they think he's of the devil. And they want a sign. Remember, earlier in the chapter, they said, show us a sign. And Jesus gives that house divided against itself speech. He just had this woman scream forth, you know, your mom sure is blessed to have such a good son, essentially. And I think there's just this frustration of people missing the point of what he's here to do. He even says, this generation is an evil generation, and he uses the same Greek word that he used back in that ask, seek, knock passage, remember, from earlier in the chapter. How many of you, when you have a friend who comes at midnight, asks for bread, oh, I'm in bed with my kids, but you give it to him not because he's your friend, but because of his importunity. If any of you has a son and he asks for bread, would you give him a stone? You remember that passage, of course. And then Jesus drops the bomb at the end and says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to those of you who ask? And when I was in that passage a few days ago, we just focused on the fact that God is good. In comparison, there's nothing good about us. And that you, if you feel like you're a pretty good father or mother, you wouldn't give anything to harm your kids. So why would, and you don't make them beg. So why would you consider you're better than God? And God says you being evil. He uses the same Greek word. The same word, you being evil, is used right here in this is an evil generation. And I don't think that's odd. He's contrasting some things, the way we see it with the way he sees it. He's spelling it out for them, really. What'd they ask for? Give us a sign. So he says to them, look, I'm not going to give you a sign. I'm not going to give you a sign to appease you, please you, convince you, win you, except for one, only the sign of the prophet Jonah. That's the sign I will be to this generation. Matthew's version of this, Matthew 12, in case you're wondering, says it this way, Jonah's in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So what Jesus will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days, three nights, resurrection. What's the Jonah story? What's unique about the Jonah story? Well, you go, well, he was swallowed by a whale. No, that's not what's unique about the Jonah story. People get swallowed by fish. What's unique about the Jonah story is he gets spit up. He comes out the other side. Now, there's issues. There's issues with the Jonah story because, well, Jonah doesn't exemplify resurrected reality on the other side of the vomiting whale. Which is why, and let's read on through, the Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. Why is he greater? Well, he's greater because his resurrection signifies an absolute new life. What he does is greater than what Jonah can do. And even they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Queen of Sheba, come from the ends of the earth to hear who Solomon was. He says, greater than Solomon is here. So, the men of Nineveh will rise at judgment with this generation and condemn it. By the way, don't miss this. The men at Nineveh are going to rise in judgment. They're going to rise in the resurrection. Even though Nineveh backslides, Nahum tells us that Nineveh backslides. They don't stay, quote unquote, the people of God. So how are they all resurrected? Because don't forget, the entire human race is resurrected in Christ. It's just not guaranteed that the entire human race is going to accept what Jesus did in his death. I pushed today to finish this passage because I didn't want to split it. I didn't want to come back tomorrow and just talk about the greater than Jonah. I wanted the whole thing to be together. So verses 29 through 32, the sign of Jonah, it's Jesus giving us yet another glimpse that this is all going to be about resurrection. We just come out of Easter, so it's not hard for us to grasp this entire Christian journey is not about going to heaven. It's about stepping into the reality of new life. A thing that when Paul comes along, he teaches us, we get to do beginning now. More from Luke 11. What a chapter. Tomorrow. See you then. God bless.